The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
And running off the back of the end zone. I mean, wow. Just a big, big mistake. You just got to be able to, you got to take advantage of it when they do that kind of stuff.
10 seconds to go. 24-23 Saints. Vikings at their own 39. It's third down. Three receivers right, Thielen left. Marshawn Lattimore, 12 yards from Adam. Case on a deep drop, steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side, caught by Diggs.
Stay up!
Oh, my God,
loose! Oh, my God!
30!
No!
10!
Touchdown!
Are you kidding me?
Miracle finish!
It's a Minneapolis miracle!
Way.
Stephon Diggs and the Minnesota Vikings have walked up on the New Orleans Saints. It's a 61-yard Minneapolis miracle.
I can't believe what I just saw, Kyle. What an unbelievable play.
Fans at U.S. Bank Stadium are embracing each other. They're trying to climb into the box to hug us all. Nobody can find Stephon Diggs. He ran into the tunnel.
Unbelievable, Paul.
Are you kidding me?
They run the deep out route. Stephon Diggs goes up, and Marcus Williams, the rookie, tries to jump over the back of him to break up the throw. The ball is caught, and Diggs is able to take it into the end zone.
Look at the Vikings coaches.
This is just an absolute mistake.
Yes!
Are you kidding me?
Look at the...
Well, not much happened this weekend. I guess we should jump right in and talk about it. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday. MLK Day Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model. Zhong Li, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real. At Jong Snow, with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday, a lot to get to today. Hope everybody's prepared for Stormageddon tomorrow, and let's have some fun.
It's crazy because it's so beautiful right now.
Yeah, it's nice out there.
Like I'm wearing a t-shirt. Like it's perfect.
I just brought my hoodie because
it'll probably be frigid in here. Yeah.
So
it was the calm before the storm.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate when I get tricked. It's funny. And this weekend was cold. I needed to clean my beer fridge out, clean the inside of it out. You know, it's been, I've had that thing for like 2 years now, and you got to clean it. And so, and I'm lazy, so I haven't cleaned it in 2 years. So I literally took every bottle out of my fridge, wiped it down with bleach, like cleaned the whole thing out, and then put everything back in. But it was nice because I was able to just unplug my fridge in my garage and leave it wide open and work on it because it was colder outside than it was in the fridge.
Yeah.
But then today was just perfect. And then now tomorrow it's supposed to be frozen. Like, let's just make up our minds here. You know what I mean?
That's good old Houston weather, man.
Yeah.
You know what I've discovered recently? I'm allergic to the cold.
What do you mean? You get sick?
I get real, like, my skin gets dry and I get real itchy. And then when I scratch, like hives break out where I scratch.
Really?
So, yeah, that's developed over the last couple of years. Hmm. It's gotten worse.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a condition.
All right.
Well, and you haven't, I mean, it's not like you have to deal with cold very much. Last year was so mild.
Yeah.
But this year's been different.
Yeah, it's killing me.
Yeah. Well, don't die on us.
Well, it's not, I don't know if it's going to actually kill me, but it's like, annoying as
hell. Oh, no, it could. It could.
Oh, maybe.
You could die from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Maybe I develop leprosy or something.
Exactly. Things start falling off. It's always the big things first, too. So, what do you think we should start with? So much to get to here.
Dude, there is so much. I honestly have no idea where we should start. I guess we should make a run through the playoff games and maybe start start at the end. Is that the way to go, you think?
Yeah, it's probably a good way to do it.
I mean, it was about as good of a finish as you can ask for, right, in the NFL?
Yeah, I heard Barry and Joel and Palillo talking about that today, where this one would rank in the all-time rankings. Yahoo still has the Immaculate Reception number one. In my mind, Music City Miracles number one.
Oh, that's number last for me. Yeah,
I know, but this is pretty damn close
to
that.
They need a replay for that.
Yeah, well, but this is pretty damn close for me. I mean, I mean, it was just so amazing to see. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going to stick to what I said last week. Whoever won that game is going to go to the Super Bowl and probably win it. Because I think the Vikings can
win the Super Bowl. There's no doubt. And I'm not even sure that the Patriots are a lock to be there. I think the Vikings are more of a lock to be in the Super Bowl than the Patriots are.
Yeah.
Because the Jags are, and we've kind of talked about it all year long, the Jags are the kind of team that's a nightmare matchup for New England. And so is Minnesota, to be quite honest. They're teams that you have a hard time throwing the ball against. And if you can make New England be a run-first team, you could probably beat them. And that's what both these teams will do. Minnesota and Jacksonville will make the Patriots be a run-first team. I don't know if the Patriots can win two games in a row like that. And I just think Minnesota's... The problem is both of those teams, and really you can throw in the Eagles too, as great as they are on defense, the name of the guy who's going to be playing quarterback in the Super Bowl, there's going to be one name, at least one name of a guy who you go, really?
Yeah.
This guy is in a Super Bowl?
Maybe two.
Maybe two. And... it's not unprecedented. You know, the Ravens won their first title with I don't want to say a bad quarterback. Well, Trent Dilfer wasn't a bad quarterback.
A guy who didn't turn the ball over, which, by the way, Blake Bortles didn't yesterday.
Right. But he's a neutral quarterback, Trent Dilfer was. When the Bucs won, Brad Johnson was a neutral quarterback. Like, you could probably replace him with most guys in the league and you would have gotten the same results both those cases. And it's the same for these, for Minnesota, for Philly, and for Jacksonville. Like, you could take an average quarterback in the league, like if you went through and found the 16th best guy and put him on those teams, hell, they might even be better. But what you've got is a guy who, you've got a team built around that guy that is going to keep them in every game. And the Patriots are obviously built around the quarterback, and it's such a stark difference, a stark contrast, the way the other three teams are built, or in the Eagles' case, they kind of have to be built that way now,
right?
Because the Eagles were a pretty complete team until Carson Wentz got hurt, and now they've got to rely on their running game and their defense.
Which good luck against the Vikings.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it is. Maybe some people think it's boring or it's going to be boring. And even Juggalo Trey was saying, if it's Minnesota and Jacksonville, are you going to want to watch it? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch
it. It's the Super Bowl.
It's the Super Bowl. But I understand the people who wanted Drew Brees versus Tom Brady.
That would have been fun.
Or yeah. Matt Ryan versus Ben Roethlisberger. You want that brand name. And quite honestly, if Tom Brady's not in the, if the Patriots aren't in the Super Bowl, brand name is not something they're gonna be able to count on, because they're even now. Minnesota's got a ton of great players. The Eagles have some great players. Jacksonville's got some great players. There's not a guy on any of those three teams who's a superstar, and it's going to be interesting to see how the ratings come out. And of course, if the ratings aren't good, people will say it's because people were kneeling, blah blah blah. But it's going to be interesting to see if there is no Tom Brady and no Rob Gronkowski in the Super Bowl, what will the general interest be? And I tend to think it's the Super Bowl, so it will always be great. But I'm curious to see that.
Yeah, I think, but it's games like this where you create superstars. So, like, I think Jalen Ramsey's a guy who, if they make the Super Bowl and win it, he'll probably be a big reason for it. And then we'll be talking about him.
Leonard Fournette the same way.
Yeah, Leonard Fournette, same kind of
But what I'm talking about, how many guys...
But they're not there yet. There's nobody on any of those rosters.
And obviously, guys like us, we cover sports for a living. But Joe Schmo in the bar, if he saw, is there anybody on Minnesota, Jacksonville, or Philadelphia who could walk into that bar without his helmet and his jersey on, and they would go, I know who that is. I don't know if there is a guy like that on any of those teams. If Tom Brady or Rob Gronkowski walks into the bar,
yeah,
my wife knows who they are.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. There's no way she knows anybody on those other three teams. No way.
Well, in this city, people would know Case Keenum, but
maybe. But I'm just meaning in general.
In general, yeah.
In general, like on a national, from a national standpoint.
Like, somebody will be like that. If we wind up with that kind of matchup, somebody will be like that.
Somebody will break out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do. But, I thought the Vikings game was really interesting for a lot of reasons, because the way the Saints came back in the second half and made their adjustments. I don't know how on earth in that position with 10 seconds left, you don't have a safety back there besides Williams. And, I mean, it was still a hell of a play that he made, but that was just one of the most bizarre finishes I've ever seen. And it was also... it was also kind of a bad beat because I had Saints money line and Saints plus +5.
Yeah, but it's sort of a bad beat. I get you there, but the right team won.
Yeah, I agree.
The Vikings were the better team yesterday.
They were, and really, I think they may be the best team left. I mean, I think they may be better than the Patriots.
They might be. They're more complete than the Patriots. Jong and I talked about this, and obviously the you know what would have been, you know what would have made you a lot of money, Fred? If Kenny Vaccaro were healthy, he baptizes Stephon Diggs at the 35. Yeah. There's no maybe he tackles him. He takes him out and leaves him there at the 35, no questions asked. And Kenny Vaccaro is a lot of things. He'll probably cost you a personal foul a game damn near. He might be a pain in the ass to some coaches. He ain't missing a tackle like that.
No.
And I told Jong before the show, that tackle, or that attempt at a tackle, if it wouldn't have cost, like, let's say it had just gotten the Vikings the cover and not the win,
yeah,
you would think it was point shaving. Like, it's such a poor attempt that it looks like it's point shaving. That's how bad of a tackle attempt it was. Just a crazy finish to a really good game. And like we said, I didn't know what was going to happen. And I said that -5 is too close to call either way.
Yeah.
But I said, but I bet it's going to be a really good game, and boy, was it.
Yeah, well, and really the Jacksonville-Pittsburgh game turned out to be a good game,
it was.
Too.
It looked like it was going to be a disaster.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we come back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation, no breathing, don't give up.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Breaking news, Andrew McCutchen traded to the Giants.
Yeah.
So, according to Buster Olney.
The Giants get Evan Longoria and Andrew McCutchen.
Yeah.
What are they trying to do? Be relevant again?
I guess so.
After an embarrassing season?
Yeah, well, it's an even numbered year, so it doesn't really matter what they do.
Yeah.
Chase, who is more complete than the Patriots left in the playoffs? Have y'all watched New England? I know they said maybe more complete, but still. You know, Chase, I've never watched New England.
Yeah, I was
never. I know nothing about them.
I saw them play the Titans. That was the first time I've seen them. First I've heard of this team.
I love have you watched, guy. Yeah, I've watched them enough to know that I unloaded on them Saturday night to cover the 13.5. So, yeah.
Boy, I'm so glad I stayed away from that. I had such a great betting weekend last weekend. I basically had every NFL game figured out. This weekend I only played three NFL lines, and the first one was Atlanta -2.5, which I didn't hit hard. Because I was
you hit that early in the week, and then you were starting to have reservations the week went on.
I thought I'd hit it again at a better number, and the number went the other way, and I was like, I don't even know if I like what I've got. I lost that. Then I had the under 48 in Tennessee, New England.
I was on the other side of that.
Which, I mean, for most of the game, it looked like it was going to be close to 48 either way. And New England had put up so many points that they were running clock. And Tennessee, since that first drive, had just become inept. And then they go down and score like a garbage time touchdown to take it over by 1 point with, I think, like a minute left on the clock. Thanks. And then I had unloaded on Pittsburgh -7. That was
You were strong on that one.
I was really strong on that, and it kicked me right in the sack. And of course, even they made me feel like I basically would, if I was in Vegas and actually had a paper ticket in my hand, I would have lit it on fire about halfway through the first quarter, because it looked like they were just going to run away from them. And then Pittsburgh got back into it at halftime, and then it looked like they were going to maybe even win the game, maybe even cover the way they were going. And then Pittsburgh decides to start letting Blake Bortles throw the ball around on them, and it's what a disastrous weekend for me.
Actually, I did real well. Saturday was 3-0. After the segment with RJ on Friday, I was convinced to go ahead and make a small bet on the Eagles money line, and that worked out. And then obviously Patriots was my biggest play of the weekend, the -13.5, and I max bet that one. And I bet the over pretty strong. So I had a good Saturday. Sunday, I was with you, but I started backing off a little bit on the Steelers, so I didn't bet a ton, but I lost that one. And then I lost a small money line on the Saints and then pushed on the pushed on the spread. But for the weekend, turned out pretty well.
Yeah,
if the Saints hold on and win that game, it would have been my best weekend in about a year and a half. But won't say that, but it would have been a good one. But the Steelers game, which we haven't talked about yet, that one.
Before we go to that, can we talk about Case Keenum for just a second?
Sure.
Because I'm sure you got the same thing I got on Twitter. A bunch of people talking to you about what you said. Case Keenum's never going to amount to anything, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if you were getting that, but I got a lot of it.
I got some of it, but I just ignored it yesterday because, frankly, I had most people misrepresent what I always said all along. I thought his ceiling was Ryan Fitzpatrick, which isn't a bad ceiling, but obviously he's become a lot better than that. But okay, but a lot of people I think seem to think I said he could never play in the league and crap like that, which I never said. He could be Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I don't want him as a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's not for me. And I'll be honest, even after what we saw yesterday, I haven't changed my mind on that. Ask yourself this. Whatever fan you're a team of, would you want your team to sign Case Keenum to a 5-year deal tomorrow or this offseason? And if the answer is yes, I feel like you don't really watch these games. And I don't know how many times, and listen, I'm happy for Case Keenum. By all accounts, he's a great guy. I mean, you could tell he's having fun playing football. I don't have anything personal against Case Keenum. I'm happy for him. But this guy, and even Jong was saying this, and Jong's a UH guy. How many throws yesterday did it look like he threw off his back foot and probably should have been intercepted? And it just worked out magically.
And that is the one thing that scares me a little bit going into Philadelphia, because the Saints weren't able to get pressure on him in the first half, and he had a big game. The Eagles are going to get pressure on
him. No doubt.
And that's when he tends to, and he did this in Houston, where he would force throws, and he got away with it. Yesterday got away with it 2 or 3 times with balls that could have been picked. That's one thing that concerns me a little bit going into Philadelphia.
And again, this is not me saying Case Keenum's trash. And Case Keenum's, he's worked his way to where, you know what? He deserves to be a starter in the NFL, because there are not 32 better quarterbacks in the league. But I just don't want him quarterbacking my team. That's all I'm saying. And somebody this offseason, it might be the Vikings, it might be somebody else. Somebody's going to pay him to be a starting quarterback.
And, well, especially if they win the Super Bowl, they got no choice but to pay that guy.
No choice. But do you want to do that?
If I win the Super Bowl, I'll feel like, okay.
You know what I do if I win the Super Bowl? And the Vikings have this luxury. The Vikings, let's say they win the Super Bowl, they can franchise him.
Yeah.
And if he turns into a pumpkin next year, they can move on.
It's 1 year. It's all it's cost you.
If any other team, they don't have that franchise tag option.
Right.
Some other team is going to give him a a starting quarterback's contract. And I just don't want to be the GM that bets my job on Case Keenum. And it's not, again, it's not me hating on the guy. I'm happy for him. I thought yesterday I couldn't have been happier for him. I thought it was such a great finish. And, you know, it was just an awesome thing to see. I just don't want him to be the quarterback of my team. And
I guess part of it is he's developed into a hell of a lot better player than I thought he could. There's no question.
Me too.
But is that
enough?
Yeah. Well, if I'm the Vikings, he seems to be a pretty good fit.
He's a good fit now.
Yeah.
What about when Pat Shurmur is head coach of the New York Giants?
Yeah.
Then is he a good fit?
That'll be interesting to see.
And, imagine if that happens. Imagine Pat Shurmur gets that head coaching job and the Vikings decide not to franchise Case Keenum.
And you have to...
And then Pat Shurmur signs him to the Giants.
And chases off Eli?
Oh, God.
Oh, that'll be a fun offseason story.
Oh, my. Wouldn't it be crazy? And I don't know. I'm not trying to make, and I know around here Case Keenum's a sensitive topic, and I'm not trying to be a contrarian. This is what my take has always been when Case Keenum couldn't put up a yard, and even now when he is doing well, I still just think long term his success, the type of success he's having now, does not seem sustainable to me. And I don't want to pay that guy to be my franchise quarterback because I don't think it'll work.
Well, I just wonder about him staying healthy. This is the first time he's basically been able to make it through a full season when he's had to play this much. And
maybe because he's built like Jong.
And he's 30 years old. And that's about to be 30 years old.
And someone's going to give him a 5-year deal. Would you want it if he were, let's say Deshaun Watson didn't exist. The Texans were still throwing Tom Savage out there. Would you want the Texans to sign Case Keenum to a 5-year deal?
No.
No way. No,
well, because I don't know that Bill O'Brien could get out of him what
I know
what
he
the Vikings are getting out of him because, well, we've seen his act with him. So, all right. Quick break. A lot more to get to. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. I think Texter has you nailed. Keenum to the Bills.
It would be a disaster. Would be an unmitigated disaster. And like I said, and of course... here's Lamont and AJ. Let's not be revisionist history guy. You were on some cases trash or who did her. I don't know what that means. Your comments are now 180 different. How are my comments different? I still don't want him. He's better than I thought he was for sure. I just said, don't tell me I am revisionist history guy. I said Case Keenum's not a starter in this league. I just said he is. So I'm not being revisionist history guy. I've come around to he's improved. And let's be honest, if Lamont and anybody else, any other Case Keenum truther, 3-4 years ago, if the Texans would have signed Case Keenum to a 5-year deal, you would have all thrown up all over yourselves because at the time, Case Keenum had proven nothing. And that you can go back through, there's statistical evidence that Case Keenum was not good enough to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. So revisionist history, to me, it isn't the word for it. The word is the guy had a career that was one thing up until this season, and this season his career's been something different. And it's a matter of, do you believe the first half of, or the first, not even half, the first 80% of his career? Or do you believe this one sample? And for me, I'm going to go ahead and say, even if this 1 year sample is, let's say this is his, I don't know if it's his ceiling, but let's say it is. I've got five other years of mediocrity. I'll take my chances and miss. I'll let him walk away from me. I'd feel much better about being the guy who passed on Case Keenum, who turns out to be the next Joe Montana, than the guy who gives Case Keenum a 5 year deal and is Matt Flynn. That's where I stand. I'd rather be that. I'd rather be the guy who said, you know what? He can win Super Bowls for somebody else. And if he does, well, eggs on my face.
713-780-ESPN. And I mean, to be perfectly honest, for those people who were saying they wanted him on the Texans, if he was behind that offensive line this year, he would not be putting up these kind of numbers. He would not be having the success. Vikings are better at protecting him. Vikings are better at running the football. Well, Vikings are just better all around. So, I'm really happy for him. He's become a better quarterback than I thought he would be, but, you know, and I hope he wins. I do. I hope it's Vikings and Patriots, because that's the one that I would be most interested in.
I think I would too.
But if you want to rag on somebody,
I just don't. If it's Eagles Jaguars, I'm going to be disgusted. Every other game, I could get behind.
The guy you should be banging on is Jeff Fisher.
Listen.
Look who he bombed with Nick Foles. Case Keenum did nothing there, and Jared Goff did nothing there.
Yeah.
Guess what?
All three playoff quarterbacks.
Yeah, now Foles is a little different, but still. 713-780-ESPN.
But the Jeff Fisher sucks at coaching quarterbacks thing, that's too easy of a column to write, Fred. Well, there's no challenge.
Yeah,
there.
I know. It's like, yeah, you know what? You're right.
And Sherwin says, you just okay's hella props and praise this year, bruh. I'm trying to give him props and praise. I'm just not going to get so overwhelmed by the moment that I suddenly think that Case Keenum's a franchise quarterback. You can't live in the moment that hard. And you know what? The same thing goes for Jacksonville. Because let's say Jacksonville wins the Super Bowl. Do you re-sign Blake Bortles? I wouldn't.
No, because I think they're winning in spite of him, not because of him. Now, yesterday, he was fine. He didn't turn the ball over. He made a few plays.
And in the fourth quarter, he was more than fine.
Yeah, yeah. I still don't know on that one long pass play what the hell Joe Hayden was thinking.
Joe Hayden and Artie Burns.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a mess.
And that game, boy, for as much as he's accomplished and as good a coach as Mike Tomlin is, boy, he'd make some dumb in-game decisions that just... The 4th and 6 inches and you're running wide when you've been going up the middle the whole time, that cost you points. The 4th down play where you're throwing the football, I mean, okay. I don't have problems with going for it on 4th down there, but man. And the Steelers were lucky to be in that game.
I did have a problem with them going for it on 4th down there. And if you are going to go for it, run the ball.
Well, that's the thing. In both those cases, the play calls on 4th down were just terrible. So...
I will say this about that Pittsburgh-Jacksonville game. I've watched A.J. Bouye, obviously, pretty closely this year because I'd like to, speaking of revisionist history, and I was never on the Kevin Johnson train, but I always laughed at people who said they didn't need to re-sign A.J. Bouye because they've got Kevin Johnson. And it turns out A.J. Bouye is actually pretty legit, and Kevin Johnson's Kevin Johnson.
Yeah.
But yesterday, I don't know how many times A.J. Bouye just latched on to the back of Antonio Brown's jersey and rode him down the field, and they didn't throw one flag on that. And it seemed, and even the catch that, like the Antonio Brown touchdown catch that got the Steelers like within 7.
Yeah.
He was carrying A.J. Bouye the last 10, 12 yards. And I don't understand how that wasn't getting called at all. And I understand you want to have a game where there's not a bunch of flags flying around and it was indeed that, but that's one of those calls that, like, there's multiple plays where dude's got a handful of his jersey and there's no call, and it there should have been calls.
Well, and this is one thing that bothers me, is the inconsistency of officiating, because in that game, you had to take a baseball bat to somebody to get an interference call. In the Vikings game, especially early on with the Saints, there were a couple calls that, frankly, they would never have been made in that other game. And I wish they'd be more consistent. If you're going to say in the playoffs, hey, we're going to let the guys grab a little more, okay. But do it with everybody.
Here, this is an interesting question, and I don't know the answer to it. Roll the reel. Do you guys think Keenum is better than Bridgewater? I don't know. I saw flashes of Teddy Bridgewater that made me think this guy's going to turn into something. This guy could be and when I say a franchise quarterback, I'm not talking like he could be Tom Brady or Ben Roethlisberger, but like a guy that you can keep around for 6-7 years that's going to actually be a plus for you at that position. And then he got hurt, and that injury was so gnarly that I don't know what he'll ever be.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he could have been versus what he can be now. But that's why I think the Vikings have such an interesting decision in front of them. And if they do make it to the Super Bowl, or if they do win the Super Bowl specifically, I think the decision's made for them.
Yeah,
but
I would agree.
Anything short of that, I think there's a real there's going to have to be a real sit down amongst the entire organization and say, which one of these three guys do we believe in? And I mean, Sam Bradford's a former number one overall pick who has shown flashes of brilliance, but also can't seem to stay on the field.
Yeah, well, that's why Keenum's out there.
Yep. You know, Teddy Bridgewater is a former first round pick, last pick of the first round, but a former first round pick that they invested in, they thought was the future of their franchise, and then had a horrific injury. And then Case Keenum is the guy who is a complete journeyman, bounced all over the league, and got you as far in the playoffs as you've been, you know, since who was the quarterback the last time they were there? Warren Moon. Or
Dante Culpepper?
Dante Culpepper, that's Culpepper, what it was, yeah. So, I mean, you've got a legit tough decision in front of you, I think, if you're the Vikings brass. Now, if they win the Super Bowl, the decision's made.
But somebody's going to pay him. Look what Mike Glennon got last year. Somebody's going to pay him.
Look what Mike Glennon got. You just said just made my argument for why you don't give him that money.
Well, I'm not arguing that. I'm just telling you somebody's going to pay him.
Somebody will, but someone's going to say, God, why the hell did we give Mike Glennon this money? What were we thinking?
Daniel said all the Keenum truthers out there, it's so hard to imagine he's gotten way better coaching in Minnesota than when he was with Kubiak and the Texans and O'Brien and the Texans. I think that's part of it. And they're protecting him better. I mean, coaching has a lot to do with it. He's in a really good situation there. All right, quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Making love with the devil hurts. Times
are changing. A thin line. ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Mom, if you can hear me, I think I made it. 20,000 fans front the stage I'm standing on.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Time to get on the map. SportsMap.com, your one-stop shop for all things Houston sports on the internet. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at SportsMapHOU. And if you missed out today, you missed out on A.J.'s college basketball report, which is really good. We had so much stuff on there this weekend. Saturday was supposed to be a day off, and I wound up first it was the Bill O'Brien extension. So wrote that, and then Patrick Creighton did a nice column on it. And then the Garrett Cole trade happens. So our buddy Chris wrote that, and then Patrick wrote a column on that too. So wound up posting that. And then Astros Fest was Saturday. So we had all that. And today we've got Joel Blank's first offering, which is really good. We've got our Rockets report. We've got Hoffman's NCAA Hoops report. And Jermaine's NFL playoff divisional round observations. So plenty of stuff.
Very good.
Keeping busy.
Yeah, where do you want to go? Do you want to keep talking about the games this weekend? I guess we started, but we've really only talked about... I guess we talked about Jacksonville and Pittsburgh. Do you want to talk about the other two games, or do you want to get to something else and pick up on that later?
Or we can, you know, a couple people want to weigh in here. We could do that. I don't know if I want to take any Case Keenum calls, though. In fact, I probably don't. So, we'll try one. Jong, have your finger on the button, though, okay?
Okay.
To cut him off. We'll start with Jason.
You don't want to take him. Imagine how I'm feeling.
I know. We'll start with Jason.
Hey, guys. Sports.
Hey, now. Sports.
Hey, so my point, I think locally you'll get a quarterback that might be special to people locally. But if you look at the whole picture, there's only been a couple special quarterbacks in the NFL, and Case Keenum's not in that category, right? So he's not really the guy you want to sign for 5 years. I'm kind of like you, AJ. Nothing against him, but it is what it is. He's done a decent job and a good job, but do you want him for 5 years? I mean, I'll hang up and listen.
To me, and I understand why now there's a push, you know, and obviously he's done something. He's had a year now where people are excited for him, excited about him. There really wasn't anything to back it up before. Before, it was more like the Johnny Manziel thing. Like, people were like, oh, Johnny Manziel can play. And it's like, why? You've never seen him have success in the NFL. What makes you say that? Well, I watched him at A&M. Okay, that's it? Vince Young was the same. And you remember, even after Vince Young washed out everywhere, there were people in this town
that kept insisting.
Who insisted that he was an NFL quarterback. And he could quarterback the Texans because there's a local attachment to a guy. So they desperately cling to it until it's completely exhausted. And I think that was the case with Keenum. And Keenum, listen, for every Keenum, everybody that was beating a Keenum drum for all these years, they got rewarded. I mean, he's had a season now that you can go, wow, that's a legit NFL season. And I sit here and admit it. And it took me a while to come around that it was real. But it's real. I mean, he's having a great season. I still don't know if I'm willing to buy into it, though, as far as a long-term thing.
And that's fair. I think it would have to be the right fit. And I think maybe Minnesota's the right fit, maybe Arizona with the right coach, where you've already got a pretty good team in place, and maybe you're developing another quarterback for down the road. But I don't know that he's necessarily going to get 5 years either. Somebody might sign him for three where – you're basically where it's an Osweiler deal where you've got 1 year where you're paying him a bunch.
Right.
And then if you want to cut him, you can. I think that's probably a possibility. But somebody's going to pay him. If Mike Glennon's getting that kind of money and Brock Osweiler. Yeah. All right. Let's try Gray.
Hey, sports.
Sports.
Sports, sports. Yeah. What did you guys think about Shermer's play calling and his sort of dialing up three pass plays when they needed to kill the clock and keep the ball out of Breeze's hands in the last 2 or 3 minutes. I'll hang up. Thanks.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, but I guess at the end of the day, it gets erased. Had they lost that game, that'd be the story.
Yeah.
And that miracle play kind of covers up the mistakes, and there were coaching mistakes in that game, and it all gets covered up. Just kind of like how Case Keenum's game, where you saw a lot of flaws, it got covered up at the end by one play.
Yeah,
and that's the way sports work. Sometimes people remember if you win, they forget your mistakes. If you lose, they pick you apart. That's everything.
713-780 ESPN. Steven wants to know what's worse, Case worshippers or wooers. Yeah, wooers. But you know what? I got to be honest. If you're a wooer, you're a Case worshiper too.
Probably.
They're the same guy. Same guy. Brother Bear says, who's worse? Never call to admit they're wrong guy or I told you so guy? I don't need people to call and admit they're wrong, so that doesn't really bother me. It's just that's the same guy also. It's like I'll be I told you so guy when I'm right, but when I'm wrong, I'm not going to come back and say, oh, well, you know what? You guys were right about that, and I wasn't.
Yeah.
So, if I'm an Eagles fan, I mean, who would you have rather faced? the Saints or the Vikings?
I'd rather face the Saints. A dome team coming up and playing in the weather. Yeah, I feel like you probably feel like your defense is good enough to at least hold Drew Brees, and then you take your chances with the rest of the team. Like you'd probably rather see that defense. Like Nick Foles, I'm sure Nick Foles would prefer to play the Saints. So yeah, I think I'd have to say they'd prefer to see the Saints.
Well, I think that game will be interesting because the Eagles will be able to get some pressure on Case. I just don't know how the Eagles are going to score any points against that defense.
I'm with you.
I mean, that Vikings defense, especially in the first half yesterday, was terrific. And you had talked about it last week with their third down percentage being as good as it was. Saints couldn't get third and ones converted.
Nope.
And I just think the Eagles run the ball well, but that's about all they can do right now. And I don't think that's going to get much done against the Vikings. So we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. Just my initial thoughts on those matchups is I like the Vikings against the Eagles, and I like the Patriots to win, but I don't know about that -9. That seems like an awful big number.
The difference, that number seems massive to me.
Yeah.
The difference between the Vikings and the Eagles, and both of them playing with backup quarterbacks, in the Vikings' case, the drop-off from Sam Bradford to Teddy Bridgewater to Case Keenum, like we just talked about, they're going to have a decision to make with all these guys. The drop-off from the difference between them is not that great, is what I'm saying. The difference between Carson Wentz and Nick Foles is just massive, and it completely changes the way that team is built. It changes what they look like as a football team, whereas the Vikings have three guys who, on any given day, or can be as good or as bad as the next one. Carson Wentz, on a bad day, is still better than Nick Foles.
Yeah. All right, hour one in the books. We've got a lot more to get to. We still haven't talked much about that game. We haven't really got into the Patriots game either. We'll do that. And some looking ahead. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Twisted game and no one ever
wins. So, who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is Morgan Freeman, executive producer of the documentary film The C Word. And I'm here to tell you that defeating cancer takes breakthroughs.